you checked out the new Giannis mural in downtown Milwaukee? Or do you always stop at the Pink Elephant off of I-90 near DeForest? Well, those are both examples of public art, and that's what we're going to talk about today on The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Najoe. I'm in for Larry Mueller. Glad you're with us on the Ideas Network. We're joined by Karen Wolf, who is director of the Madison Arts Commission, and with her is Karen Geschko. She's assistant director of the Wisconsin Arts Board. Hi, Karen. It's been a while.
Hi, Jill. It's great to hear your voice.
You too. And Karen, are you with us too?
Yes. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for being with us. And of course, we want to hear from our audience. How much do you value the art around your community? What's your favorite sculpture or mural in Wisconsin? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or send an email to WPR.org. Okay. So, Karen, what exactly is public art?
Why didn't I get a cheat sheet in advance of that question? That's awesome. There are so many different ways to talk about it, but it, at its core, and Karen, I'd love your voice in this too, it is art that engages the public directly in some way. So whether it's temporary installations or whether it's permanent, it is art that is meant to be enjoyed and, again, engaged by the public. So not a private collection, not something sitting in a home, house, business, et cetera.
So can you say that it's free for people to look at? Is that a fair description?
That is a fair description, yes.
Okay, okay. Karen, what do you think? You agree with Karen?
Well, I mean, by definition, it's art in public space. So mm-hmm. we often debate, is that piece in the library? And I say yes, because that is a public space.
Yes.
You know, but
it needs
to be more the art door, outdoor art. But yeah, as long as it's publicly accessible, it counts in my book.
Sounds good to me. Now, Karen, you're assistant director of the Wisconsin Arts Board. What do you do in that position?
So I'll step back and just say what the Wisconsin Arts Board is, and that'll maybe provide a little bit more context.
Sure.
We're the state agency that is tasked with supporting and nurturing the arts ecosystem of Wisconsin. And so we get to work with artists and communities around the state that want to engage the artists and creatives who live within their community and to bring in folks from beyond their community for specific projects or whatever. We provide grants and technical assistance, so workshops and webinars these days, and other ways to just help groups and communities do what they want to do with the arts. So my job, we are a small but mighty staff with a board that is made up of 15 people from around the state appointed by the governor to serve for 3-year terms. And so one of the things that I get to do is work with those local arts councils and community leaders who want to do, as I said, want to engage the arts in their work and in their communities. And I get to work with artists, of course, in that space, too. I get to work with Wisconsin's presenters, presenting organizations that bring in touring artists and present them in concert or performance to their communities. I get to do a whole lot of stuff, and the work is always new, and it always feels like it's never more important than today. So...
Very true.
That's a little snapshot.
Yeah, very true. Thank you. And Karen, you're the director of the Madison Arts Commission. Talk about that organization and what you do there.
Sure. So the city of Madison has an arts program that started in the 70s, and it primarily issues grants to nonprofit organizations and does public art as part of our, you know, city building efforts. And I try to keep all the ducks in a row for both of those projects.
Okay. What are some of the projects that the commission has helped with that people that have been to Madison might recognize?
Some of the public art projects, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So more recently, there's a nice big piece called
Tolerance and Innovation down in what people refer to as Library Mall near the campus.
Mm-hmm.
So State Street and downtown Madison have received a lot of the work because of, you know, the importance of that in terms of everybody, a common space that everybody enjoys from residents to visitors. So a lot of the pieces along the square, for instance, the fountains, the funky little piece next to the Madison Children's Museum with the pop scale road signs that have poems on them. And even the Philosopher's Stones, all up and down State Street, you'll notice these low to the ground cylindrical stones that go all the way from Library Mall to the top of State. That's an integrated public art piece. So, and then in the community, throughout the community, there are probably more modest pieces. One that I was proud of in the last couple of years was a piece called Mildred, which is a sculpture in Marshall Park that honors Mildred Harnack, who has been in the press a lot lately. She was a resistance fighter in World War II, and she was killed for that work. And so this is sort of a little sculpture to the anti-hero, you know, the person who's just doing the right thing.
Sure.
And relentlessly, you know.
Yes.
So.
With all of the controversy and discussion going on with our public art in the last few years, as far as who's depicted and who isn't, have you both noticed that more of the projects are kind of headed toward in that direction, where the subject is definitely different than it used to be?
I would say yes. There's much more attention to equity and to representation, and lots of efforts underway to start you know, making the work that's in our communities reflect the lives and the demographics of the people who are there. So I see a big shift to that.
You too, Karen?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I did not mention about the work that I get to do is working with those who work in public art around the state. So Karen and I get to connect a fair amount, not only on public art, but other stuff. And Karen, at some point, I wonder if you'd be willing to revisit what we did together around public art a year ago with the Main Street Program and Create Wisconsin and that series of three workshops.
That would be great, because that was my next question. So, yeah, perfect.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, unfortunately, Wisconsin is not very high in arts funding. I think we're 48th in the nation. Karen would know that more than I. But so what that means is a lot of our municipalities do not have public art administrators. And in fact, the public art program that we modeled ours after was the state's, and that no longer is intact. That was removed when Walker was governor. So Wisconsin doesn't have a lot of people that are in a designated position that are looking at best practices and staying up on the field to know really how to do it. And it is a field. So people do need a little bit of knowledge about contracts and visual arts right. What are the copyright art rules for the artists? And so Karen and Main Street and who is it? Create Wisconsin now, they're called, put together an opportunity for me to go to several locations around the state and just sort of in one day model the kind of ideal public art process, you know, a community involved, transparent process where you are, you know, taking the needs and the desires of the community into sort of a collective meaning-making process, and then attaching a site-specific piece to that community based on what you've learned in that process. So it's not just, you know, plop art, where we just take a existing work of art and fit it in a community. So it's really rooted.
Flop art. That's a new one at me.
Flop art. It's a derogative term for just throwing art anywhere. Instead,
sure.
we try to make it really catered to that community and their values.
Well, that makes total sense, because it is for the community, and what one community appreciates is different from another community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly.
And ideally, it's with the community. And so those workshops were Osceola, Waupaca, and Janesville last June, actually. So we're kind of coming up on a year. But it was a one-day intensive of just how do you connect your community into the process? How do you look at your neighborhood or your downtown or various parts, public spaces within your community through a different lens and say, what would this look like? Could something be here? What would that be? It was very cool.
I would imagine, and having worked with the Main Street program off and on for a number of years, you've got a board of people or a group of people who, that's not necessarily their profession. That's not what they do. So having help like that has got to be very, very beneficial.
Yeah, beneficial. And I think in some cases it was somewhat overwhelming, because when you don't have a paid staff and you are putting together volunteers and expecting, this level of fundraising, I think Madison now has a percent for art ordinance that gives us a designated funding stream for public art. But most communities don't have that. So they have to find the funding, and it's not super cheap, to go through these processes. So it was enlightening in all directions to kind of think about what work was ahead for the smaller communities.
Now, we just have about a minute before we have to break for news, but what do you tell people when they say, why should we put money in public art? I know you could talk about it probably for a long time, but what are the basic benefits of public art?
Well, it encourages civic engagement and conversation, and that's really important in a democracy, to have a place where you come together and discuss that. But it also, there's so many studies, it enhances belonging and community pride and brings economic vitality to communities. It improves the aesthetics of an area. It's a cultural expression. I could go on forever, but it's many, many good things, and we have a lot of evidence of that.
Karen, did you want to add anything to that?
I'll say concur, and I'll note that we actually received more applications for public art projects than ever this year. So I'd love to talk more about that maybe after the break.
Absolutely. And we'll talk a little bit about the funding that you normally get from the state legislature, too. And I think there's a little bit of a hang up there. So maybe we can talk a little bit about that. We're talking right now with Karen Geschko, the assistant director of the Wisconsin Arts Board, and Karen Wolf, who's the director of the Madison Arts Commission. What's your favorite piece of public art? What would you like to know about bringing community art or public art to your community? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. We'll be back right after this look at the news. This is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau, and we're talking about public art across Wisconsin. Our guests are Karen Geschko. She's the assistant director of the Wisconsin Arts Board, and Karen Wolf, director of the Madison Arts Commission. Does your town or city need more art? How does seeing art in your daily life change your attitude? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. And before we continue our train of thought there, Karen, we've had Dan on the line for a little bit. He's been very patient, so he's got a comment for us. Dan is in Racine County. Hi, Dan.
Joan, thank you for taking my call. It's definitely great to see public art, and I'd love to see more of it. It's unfortunate that Wisconsin doesn't have enough funding, but I find that in rural areas, sometimes you can look around and find, I guess it's private art, but it's in a very public place. And we have a chainsaw artist who's pretty prolific. And it's basically carves trees that have died. And so if you're in Racine County and you're driving along Highway 75 or 11 here in rural Wisconsin, you might look to your left or right and see a beautiful carved eagle or some other wildlife. And it brightens your day. and on a couple of the lakes in the area, he's done some work. And if you're out on a boat, you might see that. And again, it's public viewing on, I guess, private property. So I would just encourage everyone to try to do their part to, you know, make things as public as possible if you're going to put art out. So that's my comment, and I thank you guys for your time on this program. It's been great.
Thank you, Dan. That's very true, isn't it? Just because it's owned by someone else, if people can see it, that's really public art, isn't it?
Yeah, that's awesome. When Dan was talking, it reminded me of the farm art detour that the Worm Farm does in the Reedsburg area, Sauk County area, that they're sort of temporary installations of public art. It's been fascinating to watch over the years since they have done it. I think this is their 10th year, 11th. The local folks in the community are so inspired by the work that some of them go ahead and create their own pieces to add and dot that landscape of this 50-mile road. And people really get into it. It's awesome.
That's great. That's great. So, Karen, what we were talking about before the break then, did you want to continue on?
Sure. Yeah. And I realized earlier Karen had referenced our Percent for Art program here at the Wisconsin Arts Board that ran from 1980 to 2012. And it was led by the inimitable Chris Mankey for many years. It took 0.2% of state building construction budgets and put it toward public art for artwork within or on the grounds of that building. So just to give context for that reference. I love that during the break, Springboard for the Arts was one of the kind of sponsors because they are leaders in community engaged public art work. So perfectly aligned there.
I thought so too.
Yeah, that was good. One of the things that I'd mentioned right before the break was that it was fascinating to me this year to see in our Creative Communities grant program in the local arts component, 8 of the 20 grants that were funded by the panel and then by our board were public art oriented. And that's an amazing and very interesting trend and heartening to see. So I wanted to make sure to put that out there for this.
Definitely. And again, just to kind of touch on as far as finance goes. So the legislature there's some matching funds from the main, what is it, the National Endowment for the Arts? Am I saying that right? And we have to meet that, and it's not happening. So what is going on, Karen? What's happening with that money?
Yeah. I mean, the hard part of grant making, of course, is knowing that there are other amazing projects and communities throughout the state that we could help make happen if we had enough funding to invest in those. So right now, we're waiting for the legislature's Joint Committee on Finance to call a 1310 meeting at which they'll consider whether to approve the match that we need for our grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, as you said, in order to make our FY22 budget whole. And then we are looking forward to the time when we have more to invest in the creative work of Wisconsin's communities.
That would be wonderful. And Karen, does that affect you as far as your funding goes? Oh, do we lose Karen?
I hope not.
I hope not.
Sorry.
There she is.
No,
go ahead.
We don't apply. The city of Madison doesn't apply for that Creative Communities grant because we don't want to compete with the nonprofits that we support. However, many nonprofits in Madison do rely on that funding. And so it will have a big impact locally if that match doesn't come through.
Okay, good to know.
Well, and not only that, but the regranting program that you do apply for comes from that whole kind of mix of grant and match. So we're able to support some of the amazing work that the Madison Arts Commission does through our regranting program. But yeah, they don't apply in competition with their arts groups, which is awesome.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And if, you know, we want to give our legislators a little bit of a call about it, is that to encourage to kind of light the fire?
Yes.
Okay. I thought that would be your
answer.
I don't know
if you're yes, but I think I can say yes to that.
Karen is neutral.
Karen is neutral, yes. But it is important.
Yes, absolutely. Well, let's go back to the phone. We've got Susie in New Berlin who has some comments for us. Hi, Susie.
Hi. Yeah, I've got all kinds of ideas. I was an art teacher for a little while, but I mean, licensed for a little while, but I'm hoping that I'm always an art teacher. Anyway, I have a friend, Kaylee Sadler, who is a self-taught artist and hides little tiny scenes and scenarios and little artworks on the east side of Milwaukee. And just, you know, in case somebody happens to notice when they're walking down the street. And she's been doing this for a while on like Oakland and Downer, Brady Street and that kind of thing. So keep your eyes open if you ever happen to walk there. But she's also one of the artists that was picked to paint. I thought this was wonderful. West Dallas did an addition on their library, and they put benches out that were made to look like a book that was opening. Mm-hmm. And then they commissioned artists to paint the books. And she was one of the people, just did this unbelievable fantasy event on her book. And then there are all kinds of other ones that they're just amazing. I thought that was really wonderful. And then because you've got somebody from Madison here, I used to be involved with VSA, or Very Special Arts. That yeah. was an organization like Special Olympics, but for mm-hmm. all of the arts. And it turned, I think now it's called Arts for All.
Correct. Yeah.
I know that Heidi Planey in Milwaukee used to do shows like at the airport and that of her artists, you know, and do a lot of public showing of that. Do you have anything to do with them, or do you know what's going on with that?
We definitely fund them, and they're a really important partner to us in many ways. Yeah, so they're going strong.
Oh, I would say ditto.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say I ditto that from the Wisconsin Arts Board, and also share that their executive director, who is quite wonderful, is also serving on our access committee at the Arts Board. So lots of ways to connect with their work. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what is happening in Milwaukee now. Heidi, unfortunately, passed on last year, and there wasn't as much coming out towards Milwaukee anymore. Anyway, she was doing a lot of it pretty much on her own, but I know Madison was still real strong.
Okay. Well, thank you, Susie. We appreciate you bringing that up for us to chat about. Karen, what are some of the iconic, I guess is a good word to describe it, public art installations throughout Wisconsin?
Oh, Jill, if I start listing, I'm going to leave some off.
Oh, and then you'll get in trouble.
There truly are many, many iconic pieces. And what's really cool is that each community sort of has their own iconic piece. So there are some that I probably haven't even seen or know about. But to them, it is iconic, and it is sort of symbolic in a way of their community spirit. The fact that we haven't actually talked about outsider art yet as public art might be something to touch on as well. As you look up, you look around the state, the Phillips, Wisconsin, has the concrete park there that is remarkable if you're driving up the road in that part of the state. But there are a number of outsider art installations around the state that are just, you know, full of stories.
What is outsider art?
Oh, so Karen, do you want to take that one? How would you define?
Sure. I was thinking of that too, because the John Kohler Art Center actually has a map of some of these sites. So it's, you know, outsider art, some people think of that as a pejorative term. It's very difficult to find a term that is apt in this case, but generally it's art that is self-taught, very passionate. Sometimes, like Mary Knoll in Milwaukee was very educated, so it wasn't self-taught. But, you know, I guess the name came because it's a little outside the mainstream art world. But that's inverting now, and there's a lot more democracy in the art world. And I think the main
signifier is like the guy who called in about the Carver and Racine. I mean, that's, he's just going rogue because he's passionate about making art and making things. And that tends to be what some of these environments are about. It's people and places that just couldn't stop. And so they have these huge yards full of sculptures, and it's very fun to drive around the state and visit some of those places.
Grandview is in a quick drive from the Madison area, Grandview, over in near Blanchardville. So, yeah, all kinds of good places to check out.
For sure. And if there's one in your community, please give us a call and share it with us, 800-642-1234. Or you can send an email. It's ideas@wpr.org. And I guess that's kind of one of the things that is so great about public art is it seems it makes it so more accessible to so many different people where, you know, the thought about going to an art museum might be a little intimidating, but public art, it isn't like that, is it?
I mean, that's what's so wonderful is that it is out in that space and everyone can access it. But, you know, that means that the artist has a lot of responsibility because it isn't necessarily the location to put something that's that would create polarization. You know, people aren't saying, I want to go to the gallery today and have my ideas challenged. It's more about creating a common space to me, it's more about community pride and value systems and signifying that than a place to really put things that, you know, causes drama. However, it always causes drama. Anyway.
Well, that's not a bad thing.
Speaking as a dramatist,
yeah.
I would say also we haven't spent a lot of time talking about the artists who are engaged in public art making. And Karen, I know you've had a lot of direct experience with that. But there are some amazing artists in the working in the public art realm here in Wisconsin, and so I do want to do a shout out to them and to thank them. It's a thing. It's its own process. It's its own negotiation with a community, depending on, you know, how you engage with the community, what your choice is, and what your practice calls you to do. But I would say that of the 8 projects, as I said, out of 20 that we funded this year that are public art oriented, many of them are really community engaged. So I sort of stepped back and said, why so many this year? And I realized, I think, that this is at least in part because when you're engaging your community in a public art project or in public art making, you're community building, right, or rebuilding after these last 2 years and as we move into this year. You're building bridges. You're creating a third space, a safe space for people with different perspectives on things to come together to celebrate the community and youth and older adults, breaking down that isolation reverb that is still continuing. So there's real power in the process, too.
Sure. Now, does it help a community when people feel this pride in this piece of public artwork? Does it help then for the surrounding area to be treated a little bit more respectfully than maybe before that?
Definitely.
And the work is cited. Go ahead, Karen. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is used in ways that have created great economic vitality in areas. So if you look at the piece, you know, if you take Chicago as an example, before Millennium Park was there, that area was quite depressed and depressing. And they, you know, they invested a great deal of money into that piece, and they've gotten an incredible return on their investment. The tourists that it brings, the housing that was developed around it, you know, people want to be in a place that has these, you know, beautiful pieces. And so it really does often shift a community. And one thing we watch out for is we're not intending to gentrify areas. And that can happen sometimes,
right,
when you put in public art. But it's keeping the balance and keeping it very, much a part of the community. So if the community is involved in that process and it's a piece that they're proud of, it's much more successful, you know?
Right. Did you have something to add to that, Karen?
No, just totally agreeing with the no gentrification mindset there.
Yes, definitely. That's unfortunately can happen, but if you're mindful of it, if the community's mindful of it, I'm sure that makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. It does.
So if we've got some people that are in certain communities and maybe work with in groups around their city and they want to improve their downtown or other areas, what's the process like for them? It's like, okay, let's do a piece of public art. Where do they go from there?
Well, they have so many options. I mean, they can form their own internal sort of arts commission body to look at that. But there's also services in Wisconsin. We have a company called CodaWorks that basically functions like an arts administrator. So you could contract with an agency such as that or other kind of public art agencies, and they would run the process. You would still select it, but they know the best practices, and they kind of fulfill the role of the arts administrator. That I think is a very successful way to do it.
And what was that name again?
Well, in Wisconsin, we have CodaWorks. There's a company in Minnesota called Forecast that does consulting in Wisconsin.
Okay.
It's basically they would look for a public art consultant.
Okay. And what happens then once the art is up there and, you know, over time it's going to get damaged, it's going to fade or what have you, who then is responsible for taking care of that art?
Yes, that's a great question that, that communities should be asking when they're putting art in, and they should kind of develop an end-of-life plan for that piece. Best practices, as I learned from Chris Mankey at the state, was to certainly give the artist very advanced notice, 90 days notice, and not to remove it because it's out of style, but if it becomes cost prohibitive to conserve, that's a legitimate reason to say to the artist, we need to move this piece and give them right of first refusal on their artwork. So generally, we hire conservators and we do whatever we can to try to keep that piece in the community. But sometimes there is a point at which it's not feasible for one reason or another. And then we deaccession it and talk to the artist about it, talk to the community about it, and, you know, make it also a transparent public process.
So, Karen, I'm going to interject a little bit before you get to that point. I love the whole plan it out, you know, as you're planning for a piece, plan for its lifespan, but also then, you know, plan for a maintenance fee. You're right, Jill. I mean, you're going to need to do some touch-ups probably, you know, as a year or 5 years or whatever going. So just if it's a city-owned space, you know, and you're creating the budget for this thing, create a piece of the budget that is there for maintenance, and just make it really clear across the departments that money is there for when the time comes, that kind of thing.
And I would also say
there are some communities that will, so of the eight of 20 grants, I would say none of these particular projects are using a public art consultant. So I'll come at that question from a slightly different perspective, and that is, if you want to get going with a public art project in your community, one of the things that happens a lot is we get calls. And I know that Create Wisconsin, our private partner in serving the arts and creative ecosystem in Wisconsin, also gets calls. But we get calls saying, hey, we want to do a public art project. Where do we start? One of the things that we suggest is that they connect with communities in their people, so people who have done public art projects in communities near them. So there's a really awesome cohort that's being built in Wisconsin of people who are engaged in public art at some level. And I keep meaning to find the time to move that to the next step. And I turn to partners like Karen at Madison Arts Commission, or Anne at Create Wisconsin, or the leaders at the local communities, and say, okay, you guys, we need to pull people together and just have an ongoing conversation. There's a listserv that isn't being used very much yet, so, you know, things to do. So many things to do.
I was also, you made such a good point about the planning and the, you know, plan on maintenance. What we do, if we're getting a private gift or a gift from a, say, you know, a neighborhood in Madison really wants a piece and they raise the funding, we do ask them to simultaneously raise money for an endowment for future care. And most communities have a, you know, community, you know, someplace that they can hold that. And then it's not an issue when you need to.
Wonderful. Well, so much knowledge, ladies. Thank you so much for sharing that with us today. And really go out and find yourself some art to look at, right? Take
or make
care.
Your own.
Yeah, or make your own. There you go. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Karen Wolf, who's the director of the Madison Arts Commission, and Karen Gesko, who's the assistant director of the Wisconsin Arts Board. Join us tomorrow on Garden Talk. Liz Fremont is back with us to talk about unusual or little used flowering perennials, trees, and shrubs. That's tomorrow on the Ideas Network. Hope you can join us. I'm Jill Nadeau. I'm sitting in for Larry Mueller. Stay well.